live from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios.
The government and parents everywhere, they tried to ban it.
This is the George Plaster Show.
He's a fine man.
He's a great broadcaster.
Brought to you by Bart Durham Injury Law. Call George now at 615-844-5600 and online at WNSR.com.
He's a very powerful guy.
And now, here's the man, the myth, the legend, George Plaster.
And hello again, everybody. Welcome in on kind of a dreary Friday in Nashville, Tennessee, but a lot going on this weekend, and trust me when I tell you we were going to get to all of it. Let's first start by saying hello to Watson Brown, who joins us from up on the plateau. Watson, what's going on?
George, I'm doing great. I hope you are. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
You got me?
I'm losing you. Yeah, I think you're there.
You got me?
Yeah.
You got me now?
I do.
Okay, good. Yeah, everything's good up here. Brenda and I went shopping a little bit this morning, buying a few little presents here and there, getting in the Christmas spirit. So, putting up a Christmas tree. We're doing the deal, babe.
Excellent. I'm glad you're in the Christmas spirit.
It's a little easier retired than it was. Coaching around Christmas time was not the easiest thing. Recruiting, and if you're in a bowl or if you're whatever, I mean, unbelievable.
You're about to have George eggnog, and a 17-year-old tells you he has acne.
I don't know that I ever thought about it that way, but
right. Let's
your little cynical way, sometimes you can come up and you can kind of nail things. You know?
Let's say hello to Terry McCormick, who joins us from up in Portland, Tennessee. Terry, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay. George, how are you guys?
We're doing great. Doing great. You ready for a big weekend?
Sure. Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Big game for the Titans this weekend for sure.
Yeah, but I'm going to start it somewhere else. Austin Peay tonight is in the third round of their playoffs. They are on the road up at Montana State. And I am not about to be the person that tries to tell you how you watch this, but I have asked Jack Gentry to dumb this down so that idiots like me can understand how do I see this game tonight if I so desire.
So if you want to watch Austin Peay take on Montana State, you're going to go on your phone and you can watch through the ESPN app, or you can go online on ESPN.com and you'll see a watch tab close to the top of your screen, and you'll click that and sign in through your cable provider, and then you'll have the football game.
Okay, so you feel pretty confident, being younger, that you know exactly how to do all this.
1,000,000%.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, great. Here's my phone. Then figure it out, get the ESPN app on there, and then report back later in the show when you've done that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What are the odds, do we think, Watson, that he'll be able to pull that off?
I think they're good.
Okay, what are the odds?
The odds are still 50. The odds are still 50-50, even after he does it, that you can still watch it. That's going to be the 50-50 part.
Terry, I wouldn't even go 50-50.
No, I wouldn't either.
Yeah.
At least you're not attempting to watch it on the old flip phone.
No, I think that's one that Jack was going to have 0% chance to make work. Although, God bless the flip phone. It bothered so many of you for so many years. You know, I would have gone to the iPhone years ago had I not enjoyed the pleasure of ticking all of you off.
Oh.
It used to amaze me how mad Willie would get. I never could understand that. Okay, let's start.
So let me ask you this. Do you still have an 8-track player in your car, George?
No, but I'll say this. I have some cassette tapes of Vanderbilt football and basketball games that I did in the 90s. If anybody wants those, for $19.95, they'll make a lovely Christmas gift.
I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah, I'm sure you will.
I wouldn't pay 19 cents for those things.
Oh, I've got a couple of your games on television.
That's why I said yes. I wouldn't pay 19 cents for those things.
Your final season, if you remember.
No, let's don't go there.
No, let's don't. Because it always leads us to Mr. Houlihan, one of our favorite people. Terry, you broke a deal yesterday about the Titans working out the former Dallas Cowboy place kicker, Brett Maher, who what I remember of Maher in Dallas, while he was a little inconsistent, he had a major league leg.
Yes, he did. The problem was he didn't always know where the football was going, and that's why he's wound up in the unemployment line. But the Titans have their own concerns because, quite frankly, it doesn't look like Ryan Succop is healthy. And certainly that's cut down on his range, and he's only made one of five field goal attempts. And, you know, George, if you remember anything about Ryan Succop since he's been with the Titans, he has been deadly automatic inside 50 yards. Remember, he set the league record for consecutive kicks made from inside of 50 yards. And for him to have missed field goals of like 42 and 44 yards this year, you know, there's a level of concern there that the Titans are kind of underplaying here. And I think, the reason they brought in Maher a little bit under the radar was just to see if he could give them a boost and maybe they put Succop back on IR if he could. Now, from what I'm told, the workout didn't go all that great for Maher, so we will see. I think their best case scenario now is to just hope that Ryan Succop can make it through, and that they don't have to try any kicks that are 53, 54 yards to try and win a ball game.
I don't get it, because they've got about as tough a schedule as you could possibly have here down the stretch. Two games against Houston with New Orleans in between. And by the way, we'll probably know Sunday night during the telecast of the Pittsburgh-Buffalo game whether the Titans-New Orleans game will be a prime timer. So just sort of remember that. Speaking of which, let's bring Jack Gentry back in. Jack, you've taken a look at my phone. What's the early prognosis?
So the early prognosis would be your iOS update is about 11 updates behind, so we'll have to just update that real quick, and then you'll be able to download the ESPN app.
What is an iOS update?
You know, I'm not really sure. I just know that it, tweaks some of the appearances that apps have, and I don't really know the ins and outs. I'm not techie, but, I'm, in tune with the...
Okay, are you still going 100% on your end?
Oh, 1,000,000%, yeah.
1,000,000%?
Of course.
What do you think on my end?
We can get this done in the next 20 minutes, but the update will take some time.
Well, okay, thank you for that. That was good news.
Yeah.
Do you want to know what an iOS is?
Not really, but go ahead.
Okay. It is a mobile operating system created and developed by Apple Inc. exclusively for its hardware. So you're backed up on hardware.
Listen, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
One ear, not the other. Believe me, he has no idea what you talking about. That.
Well, do you?
No comment.
Good move on your end. Terrence.
No comment on that. End.
I saw yesterday where Vic Fangio decided to try to help the NFL, and his suggestion over this whole Dallas Cowboy controversy was to get rid of divisions. What's he been smoking?
Yeah, that's never going to happen. I think, when you look at the NFC East, so it's been a time or two where a division winner was 8-8. I think Seattle once was 7-9. And then won a playoff game against the New Orleans Saints. So I think, when you look at it, it's an anomaly. It's not something I don't think is going to happen on a regular basis. And therefore, I don't think it, deserves, the thought of just, continually, reinventing the wheel, so to speak. I think what you have to do, look at it this way. If you're Seattle or you're San Francisco and you're not good enough to go on the road and beat a 7-9 Dallas or Philadelphia team, then really are you as good as you thought you were going to be? Probably not.
Yeah. And Watson, our last story before we go to the break, some late-breaking Atlanta Braves news.
Oh, boy.
What do you think it is?
I don't know.
That they've not signed Josh Donaldson.
Well, you know, amazingly, it does not involve Josh Donaldson. But I put this out earlier today. This is part of the reason that you should all go to my Twitter site, GeorgePlasterTN, because I put out there earlier today this little bit of news. Before the start of the 2020 MLB season, SunTrust Park will have a name change. And then I went on to say I'm a lot more interested in the Braves re-signing the bringer of rain. That would be Josh Donaldson. So somebody helped me a little bit, not that I really cared, but SunTrust has merged with BB&T to become Truist, T-R-U-I-S-T. Truist. Mm. Welcome to Truist Park. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Wow.
That's going to have to grow on me. I don't think catching.
The early returns on that are not overly, ooh, Truist. You know, does that mean they'll be a sponsor of True TV?
Like they care.
Possibly.
It's all about money anyway.
Yeah, it is.
They
anyway,
care less.
Good luck to those two banks as they merge and ruin our stadium. But anyway, We've got a lot going on today. In just a few moments, we'll be joined by former University of Tennessee basketball star Mark Griffin to talk about tomorrow's big game up in Knoxville between Memphis and Tennessee, which I think all of us suspect will get a little dicey. These are two teams that will play, talk a lot of trash, just as they did a year ago. And my gut feeling is they're not going to play again for a while, but we're going to talk with Mark about that. Then at 2:40 today, former Pred Dan Kesmer will join us to talk about the Preds and when will it be time to start worrying about where they are in the standings. And then, of course, during the 3 o'clock hour, we begin the weekend, and Terry, I'm going to want a lot of feedback from our fans about Sunday. What's Nissan Stadium going to look like? Level of empty seats, level of seats filled, excitement. You know where I'm going with it.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. I figured you did. Okay. So let's get this show on the road. At 2:17, we tell you that from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios, you're listening to WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
This is Brett Musburger's Action Update for WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio. With Indeed, you can post a job in minutes, set up screener questions, then zero in on candidates in an online dashboard at Indeed.com/hire. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
College football tomorrow. Number 21 Navy will look to snap a three-game losing streak to Army in the annual Army-Navy game in Philadelphia. Navy a 10.5-point favorite, the over-under 40.5. Bowl season underway a week from today in the Bahamas Bowl on December 20th. Buffalo a 6.5-point favorite against Charlotte, and Utah State -7 against Kent State in the Frisco Bowl. NFL Week 15, the Titans at home against the Texans Sunday afternoon. Tennessee a 3-point home favorite, -160 money line. Houston +140, the over under 51. For vsin.com, I'm Trey Westerberg, Nashville Sports Radio.
His favorite bourbon, her favorite bottle of wine. Magic moments begin at Brinkman's Wine and Spirits in Brentwood. Whether hosting a party or just looking for a nice bottle of wine for dinner, you can't go wrong with Brinkman's Wine and Spirits, with an impressive array of wine and spirits to choose from. How many times have you been in a supermarket wandering up and down the wine aisle, getting more confused and frustrated by the minute? When you ask for help, they know less than you do. Tim Brinkman and the staff at Brinkman's Wine and Spirits will make you feel welcomed and appreciated. They have a passion for personal service to help you make the best selection for your specific taste and budget. The originator of local bourbon tastings, there's always opportunities to discover new spirits and wines. Looking for gift ideas? They can assist you with suggestions for all occasions. Rediscover Brinkman's Wine and Spirits, located at 7110 Town Center Way, just east of Franklin Road and the roundabout by the Brentwood Post Office. Good. Better. Brinkman's.
Are you one of those people who thinks it's okay to drive stoned? I mean, what's the worst that can happen? You end up driving below the speed limit? It's no big deal, right? Wrong. The truth is, your reaction times slow way down when you're high. You not only put yourself in danger, but everyone around you. Talk about a buzzkill. Stop kidding yourself. It's not okay to drive high. If you've been using marijuana in any form, do not get behind the wheel. If you feel different, you drive different. Drive high, get a DUI. Paid for by NHTSA.
My buddy James Warren is with me in studio, class of 1977, Battleground Academy, and owner of Sir Speedy with a new name. It's now Sir Speedy Music City. So I know you've changed the name, but the service continues to be terrific.
We are still the same people, George. Nothing's changed except for our name. And we changed from Sir Speedy of Berry Hill to Music City just to show that we're a bigger part of the city that we're in and we love. We cover the full Southeast, but we focus on everything Music City, and that's for who we are.
A lot of people have heard this ad over the last few weeks. I want you to give people your website, your phone number, all the particulars they need to know.
Sounds good. And I do want to give a shout out to Donut Distillery, who heard us on this show and is giving us some business.
Nice.
You can always reach us at 615-832-9511. Our website is SirSpeedyMusicCity.com, and you can email us at print@SirSpeedyMusicCity.com, and we've got you covered.
Get all your NASCAR news every weekday right here on the Final Lap, even here in the off season, believe it or not. Now, last week was Champions Week from Nashville. We will recap that as well as a ton more. So grab all the latest NASCAR news, driver interviews, stats, and info every single weekday right here.
Hey, this is Kyle Busch, driver of the number 18 M&M's Doublemint Camry, and you're listening to the Final Lap with Terry Murphy.
And be sure to like us at facebook.com/thefinalap. You'll get everything you need to know right there every single weekday right here.
As we welcome all of you back. Big day tomorrow on Rocky Top. Tennessee playing host to the University of Memphis. My suspicion is this is the last time these two teams are going to meet for a while, but I can't prove that. Let's bring former University of Tennessee basketballer Mark Griffin to our microphones. Mark, how are you?
Great, George. You know, you've mentioned last time, you know, they play again next year, and it's befitting that they'll be playing in Nashville. That may be the last time.
Well, let me redo this then. Tomorrow will be the next to last time they play for a while. Hey, let me – this is one that you know, can't find in a media guide kind of info. What do you think is the big rub between Penny Hardaway and Rick Barnes?
Gosh, that's such a great question. And I personally don't know what the great rub is, other than that what comes to mind, George, is he's trying to make a name. I want to say personally he's trying to make a name in some manner, and like he's fighting. He says he's fighting for his kids. I think it was just one of those deals where he was just really upset and more emotional than anything, and just to me showed a sign of immaturity. I mean, I just don't think a veteran coach would make comments that he's made in the past. But I don't want to spend an entire segment over what Penny Hardaway said, But I just think if it was a more mature coach, I don't think those words would have been shared. I've had the opportunity to coach against Penny Hardaway on several occasions on the travel circuit, and he was just a fine gentleman, on the circuit. Of course, he was beating my butt every game, so maybe different if you're on the winning side. But I just think that he's trying to stand up for his guys, but it was just a sign of maturity and something that I'm sure that he probably should regret of stating in my mind going out of line.
Here's another one that won't be very scientific, but I feel like I know the Memphis side wants this to continue. Mm-hmm. But if you were to poll the fan base tomorrow at Thompson Bowling, what would be their answer to whether they want this to continue?
I would say mainly it would probably be against playing Memphis. Now, it may be 60-40, but just from the people that I talk to in East Tennessee, part of the state, and people around the program, George, it's not something that I hear that they're pushing for long term. Well, the reasons I don't know exactly. I do know, George, and you spent a little time in Memphis, and you would understand this. It is so difficult to pull a kid out of Memphis in basketball. And I've had some great success in football, but I'm talking basketball, and I'll tell you why. I played travel ball, AAU, growing up in Memphis for several years. They covet those kids when they're 12 years old, and they know who is who, and they watch these kids grow up from 12. And they got Memphis supporters and fans going to practices and travel ball practices, not just tournaments or games, but they're at practices just watching these kids because they want the local kids. There's so much pressure for the local kids in Memphis to stay in Memphis when it comes to basketball. So I think that may be another reason why Tennessee, not that they're going to give up on Kennedy Chandler for Briarcrest, who's a 2021 kid for any matter, because some kids just want to get out of Memphis. But for the most part, there's so much pressure that these kids, I think, feel obligated to stay in their hometown.
I did not feel that obligation. Mark, it looks to me like Tennessee's a little better or a little ahead of schedule of where we all thought they would be. Do you buy that?
Oh, no question. I think if you were to ask if Ease Pons would have the production that he had, considering how he played his first two seasons at Tennessee, I think, you'd be scratching your head to say he would be playing as well as he has. In addition to Ease Pons, you look at John Fulkerson, the defensive tenacity that he's brought to the court, which was, I felt, lacking his first couple of years. And of course, he's had a lot of injuries, but he was playing. And if you're injured, you shouldn't play. So he did play, but he just didn't really get after it at the level that he has. And I think it's these guys look around and they go, hey, we don't have Grant Williams, we don't have Admiral Schofield, we don't have Kyle Alexander. It's my time to step up. And I think that they have done a great job in really stepping up and filling those holes.
Are you going tomorrow?
I will be there, George, with William Bellaford. You know William.
Oh, I know William well.
Yes, so I'll be at the game bright and early. They're actually having a 1979, it's been this long, George, 1979 SEC championship luncheon, and they're going to invite all the VFL's basketball players to attend. So it's going to be a good time to catch up with a lot of familiar faces and meet some people that I didn't know before.
Will Coach DeVoe be there?
Coach DeVoe should be there. The last awesome. I heard that he was going to be there, and it'll be great to see him and catch up and at the same time, still be a little nervous when I run into him. Just hearing his voice, George, still makes me nervous how hard he was on us at practice. but we'll tell stories like you always get together with your guys, your Vandy guys, and tell great stories. And this will be what this event is, tell great stories and just reminisce.
Well, if it's like ours, it's a bunch of lies. A lot of lies. Watson, what do you got for Mark?
Mark, my brother Mac worked with Rick for years, alongside him, and Mac always said that Coach Barnes was an outstanding coach. That what impressed him was that he'd watch practice, whatever, but he'd get the best out of his kids. What is the feeling on the Hill about Coach Barnes, and what do they like, dislike, whatever? I'm sure they like him because things have gone well, but just talk about that a little bit.
Oh, sure. I've been to many practices, so I can definitely enlighten your listener base on this. Well, they call Coach Barnes the shot doctor a lot of times in Knoxville because he really does come in and his staff and work on guys' shot that may not have been really good early on in their career. And one of the gentlemen I think of is Admiral Schofield. I mean, he had a terrible shot coming out of high school, but they thought he was a good athlete and developed him. I think another thing that I witnessed in practice, and Coach, I'm sure you did a great job of this, is just the repetition and not allowing mistakes. And what I mean by that is if you just keep repping play after play until the coach felt it was run correctly, that's when they moved on. Now, some programs, some coaches will run a lot of different stuff, just try to get a lot of different things. Well, he's more of the type of coach. He'll run a play over six or seven times on a screen cut, someone just breaking to the basket, and if they don't do it the exact way he wants, he makes them do it over again. And he yells at these kids. He doesn't just coddle them. I mean, he gets on them pretty hard. But I think that they respect that, and kids need that. And I think that's what you're getting with Coach Barnes to help these kids improve.
Exactly what Mac would say. He said he was very tough on them. But the one thing that all the games he'd watch them play when he was at Texas with him was the kids played hard. Every night out now, they played hard. And that's interesting that you're seeing the same exact things. Last quick question. What do you see missing right now for Tennessee to stay up there and maybe get as one of the elite teams in the SEC? What do you see missing right now that's going to have to change by January?
Well, great question. I think one thing that to me is obvious, it'd be interesting, George, is your word on this, but I think that they're missing a big. I mean, they're missing a big, like they had the European kid that was, you know, denied by Arizona State on three appeals, the big Serbian, and I think they're really missing him. I'm not saying he's going to take him to the promised land, but I do feel with if this kid was eligible, then this Tennessee team would not be in the talk of being a bubble team, because I'm not guaranteeing they're going to make the tournament now. They've had two great victories over top 25 teams, and this could be a third if things go well tomorrow. But they're still lacking with a big who can rebound and contain. I think they're going to struggle in the SEC when you go up against Nick Richards or someone like, you know, the gentleman at Kentucky or other bigs from the SEC. You're going to need that big that's going to not let people drive in the paint, and I think that's going to hurt them, and it also hurts that they don't have inside depth. If John Fulkerson or Eves Pons gets in foul trouble this weekend, Coach, this Tennessee team's going to be in trouble.
Yeah. Terry?
Mark, in looking at tomorrow's game between Tennessee and Memphis, who do you think it's more important for? Do you think it's more important for Tennessee, given that they're trying to stay at the level that they were, or close to the level that they were the last couple of years, or do you think it's more important for Penny Hardaway and Memphis as they try to ascend back into the upper echelon where they haven't been in a long time?
I think it's more important for Memphis, and I'll tell you why. They're number one recruiting class in the country, brought in seven true freshmen. I think that if Penny, and I'm speaking for him, obviously, wants to show that he can coach. I think he tried to put together a staff of some individuals who I think are good coaches. That if he's going to be a name to be reckoned with in the short term, even not even looking long term, but for him not to have immediate success with the number one recruiting class in the nation, I think it's bigger for him with these young freshmen. With Tennessee, I don't think the expectations were as high this year. Not saying that Coach Barnes bought him a year or not with what he has remaining based on what he lost. There was so much of the offense that he lost that there was not a lot of expectations that this team was going to be a top, let's say, 20 team. So I think it means more for Coach Hardaway in Memphis based on the personnel they brought in and trying to continue that tempo of bringing in more talent in the short term, because if he has a bad year this year, you're going to have coaches use that against him. Like, well, why go to Memphis? They're probably number one class in the country. They only finished, 18 and 14 or something like that. But if they do well with this freshman class, then other kids are going to want to come in and replicate what has happened with this year's team.
All right. You alluded to Fulkerson a little bit earlier, but I watched a little bit of the game against Florida A&M, and granted that was a mismatch. But Fulkerson looks like a very improved player. What has he done over the course of the off season and the early part of this season to pick his game up? Because last year when he was in the game, now granted they had a lot more weapons around and he didn't have to do a whole lot, but last year when he was in the game, I didn't look for a whole lot out of him, and now it looks like they're looking for him to be a contributor on a pretty consistent basis.
No, you're right. Matter of fact, he was the one of the players that came in that I was like, oh, my God, I hope he can just play for a few minutes and not let Tennessee down. But he's really improved. I think what he's worked on is his strength, definitely his confidence. It's probably his first full year that he's been healthy, and not to use a health, you know, as far as being hurt as an excuse, because if you're hurt, I don't think you should be playing. But he did play pretty much hurt with the injuries he's had for the first couple of years he was at UT. So I think with his health, with him gaining strength, and a lot of it's just confidence. I mean, you know, when you're in a positive environment and the coaches, you know, rely on you to produce, then, you know, you take upon yourself to take that challenge and step up. When you look around and you know there's not another Kyle Alexander around to rebound, you're like, look, I've got to go out and do my part, because we don't have Kyle here to eat up 8 boards a game. So I think a lot of it has to do with he knows it's on his shoulders. And he's just got to get out there and play hard, because there's not a lot of guys behind him that's going to take up the slack right now.
Hey, Mark, last thing for you. With Wiseman out with the NCAA issues, how much different are they without him?
Well, I think can it be a benefit? When you're talking about the number one player in the country, it's hard to say they're better without him. But I think what it does is it teaches each of the other players, and I'm sure Coach Hardaway has preached this over and over, that you've got to really look at the team concept. Everyone's got to step up since he stepped off. So I think with people like Precious Achiuora, who I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, out of Queens, New York, and he played at Mount Verde, he's a player that I absolutely love. Now, he's a terrible free throw shooter. He shoots 53% from the line. But he's a guy that's going to be in the NBA. He plays really hard. He's 6'9", and banger. And I think he's really stepped up his play since Wiseman's been hurt, and other big guys as well are going to have to just continue to step up. Someone like a DJ Jeffries from Olive Branch. Other guys are just having to pick it up and play more as a team, because they know they can't look inside for James to score, so they've got to take it upon themselves.
Mark, really appreciate the update. William's a lucky guy. You tell him I said that. If he's getting
a
free ticket tomorrow, you just let him know that I said that.
I will do so. That, and it is true. It is free. He did ask that question.
That's why he's going.
That's it.
Hey, you tell him I said hello. Appreciate it, Mark.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate y'all. Bye-bye.
Mark Griffin played under Don DeVoe at the University of Tennessee in the late 80s and early 90s, and he knows that program as well, if not better, than just about anybody. 2:36 when we come back, former Pred Dan Kesmer will join us, and we'll ask him the question right off the bat. When is it time to be worried about where this team is in the standings? Because we're now 30 games in, and they're not looking very good. Stay tuned. You're listening to WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio. My buddy James Warren is with me in studio. Class of 1977, Battleground Academy. He's the owner of Sir Speedy Music City. The name has changed, but let me tell you one thing that hasn't. They do great signage. If you don't believe them, go in and try it, right?
Absolutely, George. We love doing signage. That's a big part of our business. And if it has to do with trade show displays, banners, posters, directional signs, big signs on the side of your business, window decals, graphics, you see us all over town, and we love it.
Well, the bottom line is you want your company to look good. Now, give people phone number, website, that kind of stuff.
You can reach us at 615-832-9511. SirSpeedyMusicCity.com is our website. Print at SirSpeedyMusicCity.com gets you to it.
bottom line is you want your company to look good when you go in, tell them Plaz sent you.
Were you scammed into signing a timeshare contract? And did you miss the part that said you have to pay for your great idea? Not only for the rest of your life, but when you're not here anymore, you get to pass this turkey onto your family for them to pay for the rest of their lives. Thanks, Dad. Don't burden your family down the road, and don't be stuck with expensive timeshare payments forever. Get out of your bad idea timeshare contract guaranteed or pay nothing. Call Resort Release today and learn for free how their timeshare exit team can help you legally exit your timeshare contract. They've helped thousands of people, and they're A-plus rated with a BBB. So if you feel scammed, get mad, and get out of your expensive timeshare contract right now, guaranteed. Call NOW.
800-898-0816. 800-898-0816. 800-898-0816. That's 800-898-0816.
Today we decided to walk to school. At the corner, we waited to cross the street. The stoplight counted down. 15, 14, 41,
31? I mean, 13?
We took a left on Carroll Garden Street. Loud music was coming from a car. Danny's a smart kid, but he gets so distracted.
There were so many other sounds, I didn't know what to focus on.
Danny, Earth to Danny. Suddenly, he realized he forgot his homework again.
I left my homework on the table.
At the school steps, we hugged goodbye. I really hope he doesn't have another bad day at school today.
When you can see learning and attention issues from their side, you can be on their side. That's why there's Understood.org, a free online resource for the parents of the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues. Get personalized recommendations, practical tips, daily access to experts, and more. Go from misunderstanding to Understood.org. Brought to you by Understood and the Ad Council.
Lynch Tree Service has been helping Middle Tennesseans for more than 25 years. Whether you need tree pruning and maintenance, stump grinding, or even land clearing, Lynch Tree Service is here to help. Their number one priority is to provide customers with the best tree services possible at an extremely competitive price. For more info, give them a call at 615-649-4584 or go online, lynchtreeserve@aol.com.
Nashville Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM has been your home for sports for 20 years. From typewriters to Twitter, fax machines to Facebook, we have you covered 24/7 and on the go. Finding us online is as easy as at Nash Sports Radio. Twitter, at Nash Sports Radio. SoundCloud, at Nash Sports Radio. Facebook, at Nash Sports Radio. Or search your app store for WNSR. 20 years of sports. Anytime, anywhere. From Nashville Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
.241 That was some music that was being played in happier times, started during the run in 2017 all the way to the Stanley Cup Final. Preds lost a tough one last night to kind of an underrated Buffalo Sabres team. Got beat 4-3 up there last night. Former Pred Dan Kesmer joins us by phone. Dan, hope you're doing well.
I'm doing well, George. I'm up in Edmonton, Alberta. It's a little bit chillier here in the north part of Alberta, but we're doing well.
Good for you. Excellent. Tell me this. When should we start to be getting concerned when you look in these standings and you see they're nowhere close to the top three, and in the wild card, they're below Dallas, Vegas, Vancouver, and Minnesota. Now, I realize on the flip side, they've played less games than virtually everybody, anywhere from 2 to 4 less than most of the rest of the West. But when should we really start to hit the panic button?
Well, I don't know if the panic button is the right word to use right now, but right now is definitely a time to be concerned. 30 games into the season, it's not like we're just 5 games in. We've got a pretty good sample size of the season. You know, right now we're closing in on, halfway through coming up, you know, in the next couple of weeks. So we're far enough into the season that you can get a pretty good read on, you know, what the expectations are. And, you know, being in the 11th spot and many teams ahead of you for that wild card race, the games that you make up that teams in front of you have got, those are pivotal, obviously. boy, it's hard saying some words here up in the Great White North. I'm concerned, you know, just looking at the lack of production from some of the players that I would hope would have by this time. You know, I keep talking about this, you know, for the last few weeks, but I think it is something that you have to pay attention to when your top forward in the point production area is Yarncroke, and he's got 22 points. You've got some guys in the league that have 22 goals. And then your top three being Forsberg, Duchesne, and Johansson. You know, Johansson is under the 20-point mark total, and then you've got Duchesne and Forsberg at, you know, 21 and 22 points. I think it would be a much different scenario right now. You know, if those three right there would be into the mid-30s, that's a lot more point production coming from the guys that you would expect it. I don't think anybody in the NHL would have thought that, you know, 30 games into the season, your top forward was going to be, you know, Yarncroke. Hats off to him because he's a great player, but I think that, you know, any of the other top three would have been, you know, the first choice. So I'm concerned as a fan, you know, just looking at the lack of consistency with the team. You definitely got to start going on these 4, 5, 6 game in a row, you know, runs in order to start making up some ground.
Dan, if I could sort of be the hockey god and I granted you the ability to make one move with this team of the players that are on this roster right now, and you say, okay, George, here is my wish, and as the hockey god I say, Dan, your wish is granted, what would it be?
No holds barred.
Yeah.
No rules.
Let's do it.
I would say Connor McDavid for anybody on the Preds team.
Okay, let me rephrase this. Of the existing players on their roster right now, is there an obvious move you would make with that roster that they're not making right now?
You know, I don't think so, George. I think that you've got the personnel in play. And to put a GM hat on, you take a look at someone like Craig Smith. You know, he's got 9 points. You know, maybe being in a different organization, because I do think Craig Smith's a great player. He's a hard worker. But at the end of the day, you don't get paid in the NHL to be a hard worker. You get paid for production.
Right.
And his lack of production is obvious, you know. 30 games, 2 goals and 7 assists. For the time that he gets and the amount of money he's making, isn't cutting it. Now, can they trade him? Possibly. But I don't know what you would get in return because you don't have a lot to deal with. So maybe that's somebody that you package up with. And I know Kyle Turris has, you know, not been on the good graces of, you know, anybody on the front management, including, you know, David Poile and the coaches, because, you know, he got sat for quite some time. So I'm sure David's working a lot of different possible scenarios out there. But on paper, this team should be darn good. Granlund or Grunlund, however you want to say it, I think is a fabulous player. And his point production from years past is way below the mark that I think everybody expected. So for whatever reason, you're not getting the production from the players that, starting the season out, I think everybody thought that you would get.
Do you have a theory on this? Because you've brought up a couple that are obviously the poster childs of people in 304 going, what the hell's going on here? Smith's a good player. He's got 2 goals. Granlund, was brought in here because he was a good player. He's not getting anything done. What is the theory?
You know, George, if I knew, I mean, I think that I could, have a coaching or a management position with the Preds, but let's forget about the top three, because the top three are up there in, performance for the team, but overall our top forwards point production is lacking for that of what the good players in the league are. But let's take Smith, Granlund, and, Turris. You've got 12 points, 12 points, and 9 points after 30 games. You've got guys all over the league, that are third and fourth line players, not making as much as those guys are, getting a lot more production. So I don't know what it is. It's not from lack of opportunity, because they're all in the lineup, and God knows, watching the games, they're all getting chances on different lines because Laviolette's trying many different combinations. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I can't put my finger on exactly what the answer to that question would be.
Former Predator Dan Kesmer on the line with us. Watson, what do you got for him?
Dan, the one thing I've noticed from becoming a hockey fan and, of course, being all sports that I've watched all my life and played, in hockey, in professional hockey, it is so close. The teams are so close. And I think it's so much more so than the NFL this year, let's say. And there's so many teams that there's not much difference in. So if your team doesn't play great for a while, man, you can get yourself in trouble real quick. Like, do you see the same thing?
Absolutely. And here's where that hole gets a little bit deeper, the way that the NHL is structured over the course of the last, let's just call it 10 years, because I don't know when it was implemented. But with the shootout, you just have to get the overtime to get that one point. And a lot of times, more times than not, the teams that you're chasing are playing each other. And there's a lot of overtime games in the NHL. So the people that you're chasing, you have a very difficult time catching, because it's not like one of them's getting 2 points and the other one's getting zero. There's three points spread out amongst those two teams that you're chasing a lot of nights, from now until the end of the season. So that's why it's very imperative to get that early lead so that you can sustain a little bit of breathing room, because once you're in that hole, it's a hard thing to dig yourself out of.
And in that same thought process, we've talked to individuals, and you know so much more than me. I'd really like to hear your answer to this one. What is it team-wise, that you see we need to do better to catch back up? Because it's such a fine line to get behind.
Well, the first thing that I know that we've had difficulties with is playing with the lead. If you can get out in the first period and get a one or two goal lead, it makes the rest of the game a lot easier, because typically what happens is when you're trying to play catch up, you're taking chances. And when you take chances, a lot of times mistakes are occurring, especially on the defensive side of the puck. So a lot of times this year, we're not getting out of the gates, with that lead, we're playing catch up. And that's obvious from the amount of times that both goalies have been pulled throughout the course of 30 games so far. So there's a lot that goes into that, and because I'm not in the locker room and I don't play for the current organization, I don't know. But preparation is key from both the player standpoint and the coaching standpoint. But to be ready for the drop of the puck and try and gander that lead is very, very important.
Terry?
Dan, I guess the first thing that I would want to ask about, we talked about the Preds and how they've tried to, get out of this slump that they're in and get back in the race. We saw it happen over the last month or so with the Titans, they were 2-4 and playing a terrible brand of football. And in hockey, you saw it last year with the St. Louis Blues coming from the bottom to the top and winning the Stanley Cup. You know, in terms of the Preds, what do you think are one or two things that maybe could spark a turnaround for this team? Is it beating somebody 8-2 and getting that starting to run, or what do you think it is?
Well, to get back to your point, it is possible. It's not the norm. It's the exception, you know, with St. Louis and then, you know, the Titans this year. Is it possible? Absolutely. So you always have to have hope. What is it going to – I think that going on the road and having a successful two or three games in a row on the road, because on the road in hockey is a little bit different than football, because you don't sustain those days off while you're together on the road. You usually fly in the night before and you fly out after the game. But in hockey, if you go out to California and you play the Ducks, the Kings, and the Sharks, there's a good chance you could be out there, you know, 6 to 7 days. So the road trips are, you know, a great time for bonding. And if you can have success on the road like that, I think that, you know, coming back home, you can start having that swagger like Nashville's been known for the, you know, previous 5 to 10 years. That, you know, it's a tough building to play in. It has been in the past, not so much this year, but something's going to have to ignite and spark that turnaround. What it is, I don't know, but I hope it happens soon, because they do have the capabilities on paper. Now they just have to go out there and execute it and prove it, you know, through the 60-minute wins.
And I guess my last question would be, when you look at the Milwaukee Admirals and what's down at the top farm club, is there anything there that could be brought up and maybe give this team a quick fix or a spark? What do the prospects look like down in Milwaukee?
Well, I think that we've seen glimpses of that. I know that they've got some good young talent down there. Tovalin is one of them that I think, going back 2 years when we first signed him, the hope was that he was going to step in here and provide that, you know, spark that we ended up, you know, getting through signing Duchesne. But I think at the time and the hype on the success that kid had on the, you know, world stage through, you know, the World Juniors, the World Championships, and even the Olympics, I thought at the time that he was going to be somebody that could step in here and be, you know, that 40-goal scorer that, you know, we've been looking for. But there's a bunch of young kids down there. You know, we've had quite a few call-ups so far. So I don't think that that's the answer. That could be the future. But I think the answer is right in front of us in the lineup that we have. It's just going to take you know, a few games back-to-back-to-back with some success. And then, you know, just like winning is contagious, so is losing. So let's get out of that rut and, you know, get on a run here, and, you know, anything's possible.
And, Dan, it starts tomorrow night with trying to beat Dallas, who is the first wild card position and 6 points ahead of the Preds, and they play tomorrow night here at 5:30.
There's some there's a little bit of upheaval going on in Dallas with the coaching change.
Wow!
So that came out of nowhere.
Ooh, it did. Hey, thank you for taking the time to come on here, and we'll do it again sometime next week.
All right, sounds good, guys. Have a great day.
Former Pred Dan Kesmer joining us here on the show, and once again pulling no punches. Watson, here's one of the things I'm noticing about the Predators. You know, they have, if you look at the standings, they'll have goal differential. Calgary has played 34 games, and they have scored 5 less goals than the people that they've been playing, and yet they're in the third position in the Pacific. The Predators have scored 4 more goals than their opponents when they've played them, and yet they're in the wild card in the fifth hole. And part of that is they don't do real well when they get to overtime. Their shootout work for the last 2 or 3 years has been abysmal. And so what Dan said is true, that in these 3-point games, oftentimes the Preds are only getting 1 and the other team's getting 2.
And that's what my question, because that's what I've seen, George.
Yeah.
And you've said this to me, but now I see it. I've become more of a fan and watching it closer. there's not much difference in these teams.
No.
And in the NFL, that's not true now. Major League Baseball, that's not true. And in hockey, I mean, gracious, if you're not on, you're going to get beat. You're going to get beat, and it's that close. And I know in the Western side it is, for sure. There's so many teams. I mean, for the St. Louis Blues, who I'd forgotten about, and Dan did say it's kind of unusual, but I'd forgotten about them, and then here they go and win the thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievable to me how close these teams are, that there's not that big a difference in the talent level.
Late word out of Fayetteville that the new Arkansas football coach Sam Pittman has hired Barry Odom as his defensive coordinator. That's a pretty good move right there.
Yep, good move.
That tells me that on the rebound, Terry, he got himself a pretty good coach there.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, Barry Odom may end up being a head coach again here, but sometimes, when you get those guys that have just been turned loose and they go back to being an offensive or a defensive coordinator, whichever side of the ball they came from, sometimes that can inject some life into your program. And goodness knows Arkansas can use all the life injected into it as it can get.
Oh, my God. Initially, I was kind of putting him into potential University of Memphis, but the more I've thought about it, they're going to go get themselves a high-octane guy because that is now what their whole mantra, if that's what you want to call it, is that they're going to be a high-wire act throwing the football all over the place. Anyway, hour number one's in the books. When we come back, we officially begin the weekend, and you know what that means.